You're listening to Thunderheads, a podcast for Thunder fans by Thunder fans.
Welcome to Thunderheads. I'm Brandon Soul, joined as always by Rob Larson.
What's up?
And the Dark and Stormy, Jason Lewis.
Yes, sir.
So this was a couple weeks ago, but a family from Idaho. Have you ever been to Idaho? Either of you?
Never. No. Why would I go there?
Yeah, I don't know. There might be some pretty places.
For the potatoes.
Oh, I do love potatoes.
Yep. Do you?
You got me there. I eat potato products exclusively almost.
Yeah,
I
like potatoes. Fries and stuff. Anyway, so they it was like early in the morning and a moose ran through their window. You know the story?
Well, no, but I got a similar story.
You were just going to guess.
Wait.
Yeah, I knew it was going there.
knew it was going to be a moose.
I got a similar story. Go ahead.
Well, it busted through their like cellar window, which I don't know why a cellar has a window, but went in there and they just walked down there and there's a moose in their house. They had to call the police and get back up. Eight people had to, they had to tranquilize it and then carry it out. Like eight.
Moose.
Plural? Mises. Yeah.
They are very angry creatures, I've heard.
I lived in Alaska for 6 years.
Oh, yeah.
Just so you know.
I forgot about that.
And one time I couldn't go to school because there was a moose in our front yard.
Wow.
So, like, I couldn't walk to the bus stop.
And we should open with this.
Why don't you just juke him out of his shoes?
Well, I kind of did.
So
I went out the back door. And went around that way.
So what was he doing? He was just standing there?
Yeah, he was just hanging out.
Was he just eating some grass?
Well, there was snow.
How long did he stay there?
I don't know. I went through the back because I had to go to school, so I just left. But
how's school in Alaska? What do they... They teach you the same thing?
They teach you about moose?
It's kind of like...
Still don't get it.
It's kind of like school in the other 49 states, you know? Like, it's...
I don't know. Hawaii might be different.
Maybe.
Puerto Rico definitely is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a state,
though. Not a state. That's more of a territory.
All right. Well, Thunder, we're back. We've experienced the deadline. We're going to get into it. All-Star break's over. Thunder playing some good ball. Winners are three straight. If you count the one before the break, which why wouldn't you? So let's get all caught up with Rob's Rundown.
All right. We got two games to talk about here. The first one was the Lakers at OKC. So this is the first game out of the All-Star break. Other than playing the Nets, probably the Lakers is what you want to do coming off of a break.
Agreed.
Thunder played like the better team and kept the Lakers at arm's length, especially in the second half. The Thunder never led by less than 9 points. Thunder win 110-93. I got some stats here for you guys.
Ooh, from stat that game.
Oh, I like stats.
So Robertson and Abrines both stepped up offensively, career high for points at 19. That's a good...
That's really good, nice
starting
to
starting in place of Oladipo.
Yeah.
Nice to see.
Russ did not shoot the ball well. But he still almost had a 20-20 game with rebounds and assists, which is crazy. He had 18 rebounds and 17 assists.
Yeah, they said, I think, that was the third time in the last 40 years that's happened?
Brian Davis said that was the third time in the last 40 years that somebody had a 17-17-17 game.
And if Brian Davis says it...
You gotta know that's true.
Tonight he called... This is getting off track a little bit, but did you hear him call Doug McDermott Dougie McThunderbuckets?
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
He called him Dougie McThunderbuckets. Anyways.
That's the new.
I wonder how long he was sitting on that, I guess, since.
Do you think he thought of that and was like, oh.
He wrote it down last night at the hotel.
I got something.
He wouldn't have been at
the
hotel.
Nine syllables. I mean.
Yeah. Another thing here, Thunder won every quarter, none bigger than the third, which they've been struggling in this season. They outscored the Lakers by 9 in the third quarter.
Well, and the starters dominated the game. I mean, you go through the plus minus, Andre Robertson, who was awesome in the game.
He was so good.
19 points, 8 for 9 shooting, hit all of his threes, and he's been struggling from 3. Goes 3 for 3 against the Lakers.
I don't have it pulled up, but I think wasn't the bench negative?
Yes, everyone on the bench was a negative. Yeah. Minus 19 for Grant, which is weird because I don't remember him being terrible in that game, but a plus 34 for Robertson, plus 27 for Sabonis, who played 23 minutes, plus 24 for Adams, plus 25 for Abrines, and plus 19 for Russ.
Yeah. Not too shabby.
That's a win every time.
Yep. Okay, so the next game we have here with Pelicans at OKC. This was back and forth for much of the game. 20 lead changes, 11 ties. Thunder could not stop Davis in the first quarter, as he seemed to just not miss. He scored 24 points in the first. However, Russell Westbrook took over the fourth quarter.
Again,
where he scored 21 points. And get this, the last 5 minutes and 55 seconds of that game, the score at that point, or just before that, was 95-102. Mm-hmm. Russ scores the Thunder's last 16 points of the game, outscoring the Pelicans 16-15 on his own.
Oh my God.
Thunder win 118-110.
It's incredible because at this point you just expect it out of him. I mean, through the first three quarters, he's not playing a good game. Yeah. I remember thinking, like, Russ is not playing a good game.
Struggling a little. And
he shoots 14 for 29, which I would have guessed it wasn't anywhere close to that good of a percentage.
It was the fourth quarter.
Yeah. I mean, it's consistently doing it. You can expect it now. You can expect him to come to it. You look at his numbers, 41-11-11, and he didn't play that great.
Yeah,
he just had a monster fourth quarter, and I mean, 9 turnovers, which 8 of those were, I think, in the first three quarters. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know he was struggling with turnovers early. Like, he was trying to force stuff, and he was, like, rolling the ball at Adam's feet a couple times. I was like, this is not great. But.
And worth mentioning, Enes Kanter, who struggled against the Lakers, seemed a little out of rhythm.
Turned around, for sure.
Found his rhythm against the Pelicans, played pretty good defense against Cousins when he had the opportunities. Yeah. I mean, Cousins is going to get calls, and he got calls. Davis is going to get calls.
The calls in this game were getting a little out of hand. Like, everybody had 4 fouls, it seemed like.
Yeah, you're right. Cousins fouls out.
Robertson fouled out.
Yeah, I mean, it was an ugly game because a lot of free throws were shot, especially by the Pelicans. How many did they shoot? 37. And then, 37 by the Thunder, too. So,
yeah,
74 free throws between two teams is usually not a very fun game to watch.
Yeah.
But Kanter, 20 points, 9 rebounds in 24 minutes. That's the Kanter the Thunder have missed. And if you go back and you kind of think about, you know, people complaining, saying, Russ needs help. Got to get Russ some help. It was easy to forget. It's like, oh, yeah.
Kanter's hurt.
Yeah. He's back now. There's a lot of help, right?
Yeah, and the interesting thing about Kanter is he didn't make a single shot in the second half. He scored 8 points, and they all came from the free throw line. He shot 11.
Wow.
Or he shot 10 free throws. He was 8 for 10 from the free throw line. Had 3 shots. He missed them all. But, I mean, it was just, it's nice to see him still have an impact, even though he only got 3 shots up. He didn't make one. But still, I mean, he got to the free throw line, so.
Yeah,
it still was effective.
And like you said, his defense was pretty decent.
Yeah, I mean, which is nice. And that's all you can ask out of him, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I still prefer...
Especially against two.
Sometimes he bugs me when he's lazy on the defensive glass where it's almost like he expects every shot to go in.
Right.
Or something. Maybe he's used to it because he's been so bad defensively in his career.
It's like they just go in when it's against me. So.
But whatever. I mean, he played a great game, so I'm not complaining at all. He led, what was he, a plus 21, which is 11 more than anyone else. Doug McDermott somehow was... a plus 10. I mean, he didn't play very well. He played 23 minutes. But speaking of Doug McDermott, we talked a little bit about it on the Fast Break this week. Trade deadline. Thunder make a trade. Cameron Payne, Joffrey Laverne, Anthony Morrow go to Chicago for Taj Gibson and Doug McDermott and a 2018 second round pick. So I think we all expected Taj Gibson to slide into that starting power forward spot. It's only been 2 games. They have 1 practice under the belt, a couple shoot-arounds. Do you expect Donovan to go with Taj? Or do you kind of expect this... kind of to keep going forward, starting Sabonis?
I when we originally talked about it, I thought Taj would be the starter, but I went and was watching some highlights of Doug throughout the season, and I noticed that him and Taj have like a really good chemistry together. Most of his highlights came off of like cutting to the basket, and Taj would pass him the ball, and they seem to have a really good like chemistry working off of each other. So I kind of like them being out there together.
Well, I mean, in Chicago, Taj started and Doug came off the bench.
Yeah, so you can just mix them together like that for sure.
So on the so right after this happened, we talked about what we thought would, how we thought, you know, the starting lineup would change, or you know, all of that. And I kind of brought up the point that I like the idea of having Adams and Sabonis together, and then I thought Taj Gibson would have a nice impact on Kanter. And that's kind of what we've kind of seen those guys playing. And obviously, the lines are going to be sort of mixed, because you're going to have Kanter with Adams,
right?
You know, and so as it goes through, but I think what Sabonis does works well with Adams, and the same with Kanter and Taj Gibson.
Well, I know Sabonis against the Pelicans, he's going against a tall task, guarding Davis to start the game, but he only plays 8 minutes. I mean, so is that a sign? Obviously, I think Donovan's going to favor the veteran, right? I mean, he's going to favor Gibson, who played 21 minutes against the Pelicans. He's going to favor Grant, I think, even over as the season goes on, as the playoffs approach.
Yeah,
so that's what I wonder. If you're ultimately going to replace Sabonis in the starting lineup come playoff time, why
do it? Yeah. And he might be waiting to get a couple more practices with Gibson and then like kind of get the chemistry together first before. And with not having Oladipo in the starting lineup, that's quite a bit of change. So it's maybe true. He's trying to limit
We've
that.
Yet to see this team at full strength since the trade's been made.
The weird thing that I thought was in the first quarter, whenever Sabonis got in foul trouble, he came out of the game and Donovan brought in Enes Kanter. In the second half, or the third quarter, Sabonis played like the first 2 minutes and 45 seconds. I have it here. And the first guy that came in was Taj Gibson.
Yeah. So it kind of seems like Donovan's trying to figure out exactly how he wants his rotations to work a little bit. And you can, it's a totally valid question if you want to say, well, if you start Gibson, your spacing's even worse than it is now because Sabonis is a better outside shooter than Gibson, even though he hasn't been shooting it that well. You know, the past couple months, but he still is a bigger threat to make
like
a
Gibson
three.
Doesn't shoot from three at all.
Yeah, he's not going to spot up out there. Yeah. So you can argue that. But at the same time, so if you want to start Gibson, with the way Abrines has been playing, we got to talk about it.
Yeah.
I know Oladipo's been hurt, and Oladipo's a better player than Abrines overall. But, you know, Oladipo was brought in initially to be that sixth man. Maybe you have an opportunity here.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Abrines does a really great job of spacing the floor, like you said.
And he's confident.
He's played great these two starts he's had. I've loved having him out there with Russ. And having Russ and Oladipo on the floor together, you have two ball handlers. You don't necessarily, like, I feel like Oladipo needs the ball to be able to score. He has done a great job of spotting up this year, but we now have Samaj as our backup point guard. Yeah. So having Oladipo there to handle the ball more, I feel like makes sense. Like, I don't know if they're going to make that move or if they're just going to stagger the lineups a little bit more now. Mm-hmm. I could see that.
Yeah,
happening.
And it's not like you can't, if you do that, if you bring Oladipo off the bench, that you can't ever play him with Russ.
Right.
You know,
yeah, like, for sure. Like, they play well together.
Yeah, so I think this is, you're right. You brought up Samaje, and he's the weak link on the team, right?
For sure.
I mean,
sure.
He's the worst player on the team right now, or the worst rotational player on the team. Yeah. So
don't forget about old Kyle back there.
He played 11 minutes tonight. Talking about Kristen, he played 11 minutes against the Pelicans. He was 1-for-5, and
that
he didn't
one
have,
was pretty nice. Though.
He didn't have a single rebound, assist, steal, block. I mean, he contributed nothing other than the 3 points, and he was a +5. You know, you take whatever you want from plus minus, but
he was playing with Kanter a lot.
Right,
that's a big part.
Right,
of it.
But yeah, I mean, to your point. Like, whenever Oladipo does come back, you see a stat line like that from Samaje, who played 11 minutes, and you would expect him to do something as the point guard, maybe get an assist or something.
He just can't shoot.
Just one assist.
He can't shoot, so it makes it really hard on himself, because he can't shoot, so no one's really guarding you on the ball, so you're not going to get to the rim when you can't shoot, and you're not going to get calls because you're not a star.
Right.
And, you know, so it makes it really hard for him, but I guess that's why you have Enes Kanter that plays with him. But if... I think that's the argument for bringing Oladipo off the bench, because if you can eliminate Samaje from your rotation.
Yeah, so if you just use Depot as a point guard.
Well, you don't even have to do that. I mean, because you can still play him off the ball when you play him with Russ. You
True.
Know?
Yeah.
Just play him minutes without Russ. So just basically stagger them. You know? So I don't know. I think that your team gets better if you're able to do that. But the question is, are you able to do it? Can you rely on Oladipo to carry that second unit, or at least handle the ball handling duties and running the plays and initiating the plays and making the right passes? And
to me, say you offer him, like, hey, what if we move you to the bench? Like, you come off the bench, but you run the second unit, like it's yours. I almost feel like that kind of takes the hit of moving out of the starting lineup away, because it's like, well, we're giving you this responsibility to like carry this thing.
And he's got a little help now too, a little shooting.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's not like you're going to play him exclusively with bench guys either. So you got McDermott to help out. And speaking of McDermott, how do you feel about McDermott?
Well, hold on. So to your point about Oladipo, I mean, we've talked about this a little bit before, but he doesn't look comfortable with running an offense.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Even whenever Cameron Payne was there for those 20 games, we had them together. I mean, Oladipo whenever they've needed him to, he wasn't able to get others involved. And even whenever he does do a pick and roll, it seems like he comes off of the pick and he shoots the ball. Mm-hmm. Like, he hardly ever, I mean, he's not,
and
he doesn't give very many assists.
And when he does go to the hole, he doesn't get foul calls. He rarely finishes.
Yeah.
But it's kind of the same issue you have with Christian, right? So if you're playing with Enes Kanter on the bench, I mean, get the ball. You can still run the same system, right? I mean, you just have a
because you don't want to upset Cantor, I guess, if since that's kind of his thing.
And it's not even about that. That's your best option. So.
Yeah. Well, we have one thing we didn't talk about was the extra roster spot that they have, and maybe they bring in somebody else, and we can talk about that later.
Let's
but,
talk about it right now. I mean,
because
that's the goal. That's what they're so thin. We talked about on the fast break how thin they are at the guard position. They have four guards on this roster, unless you want to say Robertson's a guard, you know?
Right.
Which I don't think he is anymore at this point. He's been playing small four.
Of a three and a four.
Right. He's a three. So any they can play the two, but he's a three. So
the numbers with Samaje are so bad.
They're bad
this year.
Really?
It makes you wonder
when you think about people who are arguing like bring back Samaje when Payne was struggling.
Yeah, that,
like, come on.
That
well,
blew
and
my
even
mind.
Even whenever the numbers were not great with Payne, but they were even worse with Samaje. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you don't even have to look at the numbers. You can watch him play, and it's just not. That's
he's not effective.
Such a weak spot that they have on that second unit. And so the fact that they have an open spot, hopefully, you know, obviously that's where they should use it.
But it's who can you use it on it, right? It's because you need a combo guard. I don't think you need a point guard that's going to necessarily make all these plays for you because the bench is still going to be the same. You're still going to pound it inside with Enes Kanter. So you just need a guy that can get him the ball, can make a shot, you know, can play
can
the guard,
little,
can play
yeah,
guard. Right. So who are the options here? I mean, Jarrett Jack is one, I think. I think he just signed a 10-day with the Pelicans.
He was there tonight. We saw he didn't play, but I saw him.
He's
sitting
an
on
option.
Their bench.
I mean, he's been an effective player in the past.
I know Mario Chalmers is out there, but I don't
Mario
think
Chalmers.
We're.
Yeah, I mean,
I
Norris Cole.
I wouldn't mind Mario Chalmers.
I mean, he can
I
hit.
Either.
There he was can also, hit shots.
There was also Jose Calderon. That was
but he's
he
going
just,
to the Warriors.
He just signed, well,
did he sign it? I saw he was considering it.
I think they're like it's like basically
it's
if he gets
done.
Bought out, it's a done deal.
Yeah.
It's pretty much what I've been reading.
Like why wouldn't
one thing that. I hope this doesn't happen, but it crossed my mind earlier. What if the Bulls buy out Rondo?
I'd prefer not to have him.
I mean, it's an interesting idea. I don't think Presti would ever do it. First
I don't,
of all, because his reputation at this point.
Yeah, it was when we were talking about bringing Boogie here. Like once we got past that and didn't do it, I was like, oh, that makes so much more sense that they wouldn't bring him here. Just because of his attitude and everything. And I think with Rondo, it's the same thing. Like, they're not going to take a chance of ruining the locker room.
Yeah.
But what
if he comes here?
If they talk to him, if they were like, hey, dude, come here.
Obviously, it's a little different, I think, in Chicago than it would be here because Russ is getting majority of the minutes. We need you to do this one thing.
Right.
Come off the bench and be able to sort of facilitate. And I think that's a great guy to be able to do it. I don't know that they're actually going to buy him out or not, but
yeah, I mean he'd be a candidate though because the Bulls have 4 point guards and you know the everything that's been going on there. It's like
it's very tumultuous there, so that could be contributing. Like the last couple places he's been, the Kings and the Bulls, not great situations.
Well, the weird part also is that we just made a trade with the Bulls. You would have thought if that was something he was going to do, he would go ahead and throw him in there. Yeah, he probably would have just went ahead and
which they probably done wouldn't have been like. Yeah.
That's true, I guess. And then you, speaking of the trade with the Bulls, reports were saying that the Bulls wanted Robertson, and Presti and the Thunder felt confident they were going to be able to re-sign or at least reach an extension with Robertson in the offseason, which I know it made me happy. I think a lot of people wanted to see Robertson traded just because of the fact he can't shoot the ball. He's not very good on offense, despite what he's been doing here in the past few games where he's been driving the ball effectively, you know, making threes.
The last two games, he's shooting 92.3% from the field.
It's incredible.
Loved it.
That's amazing.
Loved that.
And
they
he's averaging 6.5 out of those two games. He's averaging 6.5 shots. So it's not like he's,
Do you think he's aware that the trade deadline is like a thing in the NBA? Like maybe we could just trick him into thinking he's being traded like every couple weeks.
There's
just
no
like
deadline.
Whenever he has a dip in shooting, just like, hey, Dre, I think I've heard some rumblings that you're going to get moved this week.
Do you think that's actually a factor with him? Like the fact that he didn't get traded, maybe a boost of confidence, a boost of security, a boost of
I think, oh my God.
And especially if like we reassured him, like we want you
and
here
I,
in the future.
I feel like they probably had to have talked to him like, hey, like maybe talk to him and his agent. Hey,
hey.
So what is it?
And then they hugged.
No.
And then they hugged
and he left. You know, that was a good conversation.
What is his market in the offseason? Because if I think that if Presti believed it was $15 million, like he reportedly wanted, if he thought it was going to be $15 million this summer, Presti would have traded him.
Yeah.
If he thought he was going to get that. Maybe,
or maybe he's a guy they can talk to and say, right. "Hey, could you take like stay here?
Right. We maybe love they talk you. To him and say, "Do you like, want to be here? We want you to be here. If you're willing to be here, let's work something out. You know, let's worry about that later."
I mean, he doesn't seem like a guy that $3 million would change mm-hmm. his decision that much.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, how much? What's his top offer? You thought Dion was going to get?
I was way off on Dion.
Everyone was way off.
But
on
I was
Dion.
Even more so. Like I thought. Yeah, I couldn't believe that he took what he did, but. I mean, if he continues to play like he, obviously I don't think he's going to stay on this pace. No. Definitely not from three. He hasn't missed a three in the last two games.
Yeah. And I think the one he made against the Pelicans, it was on a pass from McDermott.
It was a beaut.
And it was like in rhythm and he just shot it. It was like a wing three or like a corner three, not in the corner.
On the diagonal areas.
I'm an idiot. Yeah. So yeah, but I mean, he shot it with no hesitation.
But the thing is like his confidence, especially coming off of that Lakers game, like his confidence has to be sky high. Mm-hmm. Like he's feeling really good about himself.
Yeah. And his cuts are on point lately and Russ is finding them. I still think Russ can do a better job finding Abrinas too. Like there's been times that
a couple
Abrinas
times tonight he hit him perfect.
Yeah.
That was beautiful.
That's the thing. If Abrinas is open and the pass is on target, the shot is in.
Yeah.
He's making that shot.
I love
shot.
That guy.
I mean, he gets it off quick. I mean, Rob, you made a point earlier about how he's shooting like Morrow has in the past for the Thunder, and it's right because he gets it off so quick, and he's not afraid to shoot. He's not afraid when someone contests a shot either,
right.
which is what I like about him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he struggled a little bit from the field against the Pelicans.
What did he end up shooting?
4 for 12.
Who?
But he was 3 for 7 from three, but he had
a nice alley oop.
The thing about
you'll take 3 for 7 from three, yeah. You're right, that alley oop,
and it's also. It's just being able to make the other team defend something else besides Russ. Like, if you can put it in their mind, like, oh, yeah, that guy's going to be able to hit some shots, mm-hmm. you have to defend that as well.
Or at least
it's just
have to
putting
close
it
out
in their
on
mind.
Him.
Yeah.
Something. Yeah.
Antonio Daniels made a really good point pregame saying that it's not just the makes that he's doing, it's his attempts. The fact that he's shooting 11 threes like he did against the Lakers, you know he's going to shoot the ball.
Yeah.
So you
have to worry about it. And he can kind of dribble. Like he can kind of take you off the dribble a little bit. Like
his athleticism is
surprising.
It's really surprising. Like
I didn't expect him to be.
You said that alley-oop, he gets up a little bit. He played 35 minutes against the Pelicans. That shows you though that obviously Oladipo's hurt. So right now the Thunder are playing with three guards. I mean, it shows you though they could use a little help in that backcourt.
For sure. I just love him getting extra minutes, like, and not having to worry about like, is it me or is it Amo? Like, I miss Amo like crazy, mm-hmm. but I just love that Abrinas is. I know he's starting right now, which he won't be probably, but I just love the extra time he's getting.
I'm really interested to see that, like, you know, if Oladipo misses another game, and then they're like, you know, we're gonna ease you back.
Yeah,
we're gonna bring you off the bench, and then it's starting to work. This is actually working.
Mm-hmm.
Abrinas starting, you know, something like that could happen.
Yeah, I think part of this is also that. You know, he is getting extended run. And so I think that's probably helping him as well. So what happens whenever Oladipo comes back and he goes back to mm-hmm. probably 15 minutes a game? And is he as effective then?
A player like that is going to maximize his potential by playing with the best players on the court.
Well, yeah.
So
for sure.
That's
Samaje isn't getting him those shots.
Right, yeah. Samaje's not going to get him the shots and... You know, Doug McDermott's not going to get him the shots, but it is interesting thinking about him playing with McDermott. They had a little court time together tonight. I'm interested to see if that can work going forward.
Yeah, and on Doug, I love the fact that he moves off the ball.
Yeah.
Thank God
we
have somebody that moves off the ball.
Because that was the knock on Morrow. I mean, Morrow could shoot, but he can't move without the ball. Guy can't move hardly, you know, so it's like it's nice having a young guy that can – He knows how to move the floor. I mean,
and he'll move with the ball. Also,
he's a Kyle Korver type player.
Yeah,
he's not Kyle Korver, but he's a Kyle Korver type player.
Yeah, I would love to see him get more looks too.
I think
as they integrate, it'll happen. For sure.
They'll start nice little pin downs that he'll curl around and have mid range jumpers. He'll have elevator threes, everything like that.
And it looks like which this has been a little bit of a problem for the Thunder in the past, but. His inbounding late in the game tonight against the Pelicans, he was inbounding the ball. He did it late, and
this, I mean, like you said,
he didn't ruin it.
Yeah.
That's nice.
No, it looked fine. It looked like Russ, after he did, they got a foul call. Russ went over there to him, gave him a high five. So
that's important. Like you that. Need the high fives from Russ.
High fives are good.
Wouldn't it feel good to get a high five from Russ? It'd like probably on the court, hurt. On the court. Well, no, it'd be more like just make you feel good inside. You're like, oh my God, he accepts me. Yeah. He likes me. He
I would probably cry a little.
All right, let's,
which then he'd take that high five right back.
Let's make a little money.
Okay.
Do you play Daily Fantasy? If so, you should be playing on Draft.
Get this.
Your chances of winning on Draft are almost three times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings.
Studies show almost 90% of players lose on DraftKings. On FanDuel, over 40% of the money goes to just 1% of the players. So if you don't have a master's degree in statistics, you might want to head over to Draft. You'll win more often. It's science.
On Draft, you do a simple snake draft just like at the beginning of your season-long fantasy draft. Fantasy league, I should say. You can do drafts whenever you want. They last for just one day, and they take only minutes to complete.
Download Draft now. Just search Draft in the App Store, and it'll come up first. Be sure to enter promo code ABPN when you download, and you'll get 100% bonus when you deposit up to $600. Again, search Draft, DRAFT, in the App Store, and be sure to enter the promo code ABPN.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we got a new segment to debut.
A new...
This is exciting.
Fun segment.
I feel like we should just like hang here to really intensify the...
The suspense?
Yeah, the suspense.
Just increase the suspense.
Anticipation. All right, let's do it.
Pick up the phone.
You've reached the Thunderheads. Leave a message after the beep.
Kidding.
All right,
hey there, Thunderheads. Been long time listener and first time caller. Just hoping you'd answer me something on the air. Y'all think Sam Presti was right when he said that we was a better team now than we were before after them trades? And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. Sorry we couldn't answer. Well, yeah, I think the Thunder, there's no doubt they are a better team, right?
I believe so, yeah.
I mean, like we said on the fast break, that they got the best player in the deal, Taj Gibson. Although he struggled shooting the ball since he's been with the Thunder. But I think that he makes the team better. You don't have to rely on Sabonis as much as you did before.
They're a better team today. I mean, I don't know about long term what's going to happen with Gibson, mm-hmm. what's going to happen with McDermott.
Is Payne going to continue
to progress? But today they are a better team than what they were before.
Absolutely. And I mean, they met their needs. That's kind of what we were talking about on the fast break a little. Was they needed a guy who could move off the ball and score and take off some of the pressure, and a defender and a guy that has toughness.
Were you guys worried? Because I'm not going to lie, the thought crossed my mind when Doug McDermott was coming. I was like, oh God, is this going to be another Kyle Singler situation where he was good before or at least serviceable before, and then he comes
just
and he just
terrible?
Can't play in this offense for whatever reason.
Doug, in the two games he's been here, he hasn't played amazingly or anything like that, but
he's pretty good in the first game.
I can just tell that he just seems so much more comfortable and like is the guy that I was hoping we would get. Like I hope
he flourishes.
He has, I don't know how many threes he's taken. I think he's taken three threes. He hasn't made one yet.
Right.
And so I don't know. Whenever we were talking about this, trying to figure out sort of, you know, what we were getting, we talked about lacking defense, and I mean he's active on defense. He's not a great defender, but he got lost a little bit tonight against the Pelicans. Mm-hmm. And so you could kind of see against the Lakers, I thought he looked really
good.
Yeah,
he did.
Especially like defensively.
I don't know if he was just
he works hard.
but I've heard terrible things from Chicago people about his defense. I'm just looking around the internet. The webs.
Yeah, on the websites.
The web things. But he's looked better than I expected. So, I don't know. We'll see. But we've got a few more.
But to answer
here.
The caller's question, yes.
Yeah, yes.
Next.
Hello, is this
What is
Thunder Hotline? I was calling to report thunder. Hello? I hear thunder.
Get out of here, Grandma.
Yeah.
Okay. Hello?
This is not the Thunder Hotline. Next.
That was awkward.
So what's the deal here, boys? We don't answer our phones anymore? Am I supposed to text you or something? God, freaking get out of here.
Is this Donnie?
Look, it's Donnie.
Yep.
Donnie Donovan. You know, we spoke before, but now you ain't answering your phone. Look, I'm just going to tell you what I heard from my cousin, all right? So apparently, Thunder Team's been paid a lot of extra money unclogging them drains from the hairiness. You know, Steven Adams, Alex Sabrinas. I mean, it's part of the reason they traded Cameron Payne, I'm telling you. All right, well, that's all I got for now.
So, yeah, a lot
Donnie, Billy's cousin. Billy Donovan's cousin, Donnie. Frequent caller. We have a nice relationship with him. He's onto something here, I think.
He's got a point.
But I heard that someone on the franchise was accusing, I don't know who it was, but I heard they were accusing the Thunder organization of being racist.
What?
Yeah.
Is this real?
Yeah, this is what I heard. I didn't hear it, so if someone's listening and I'm totally wrong about this, let me know. But this is what I heard, that they were just saying, you know, the evidence is there. Look at all the white players on the team.
Oh.
Because
we're collecting the white guys.
Yeah, but I mean, a lot of them are foreigners. Like, yeah, so it's just like, come on, man. Yes, the Thunder do value a certain character. You know, they value a certain character.
Sure.
And,
yeah.
You know, they're going to bring guys in that fit the character.
Presley's always talking about the Thunder way. And
he does have that.
But how do you accuse a organization of being racist with the way they construct their roster when they're consistently a good team?
You know, like no black guys.
If they were making ridiculous trades where it's like, what?
Right.
Then you can accuse, but it seems kind of strange.
That's pretty weird, especially for... That's weird.
Yeah, so but about the hair thing...
Absolutely.
That's why they got Taj Gibson. No hair.
Yeah, no hair, man. All right.
Dango, tell you what, man. Y'all boys don't start answering your phone. I'm just about going to have to spit. Hey, look, Jason, it's your Uncle Earl. I was just sitting here watching the old TV game, and I noticed that them referees, they take a look at them computer screens for so long there, looking at them foul reviews, whatever the heck they're doing. You know, I reckon they're just trying to catch their breath sometimes, because it just take you a couple seconds to tell that ain't a foul. They're standing up there for, you know, dang old 2.5 minutes. They need to be in better shape. It's disgusting. Hang on, I'm going to have to call you back. I just lost a Cheeto down here in the Lazy Boy.
All right.
Yeah, that's embarrassing. That's my uncle.
Yeah, you got that. Your family's got issues.
Lots of them.
I think what the caller is complaining about, though, your uncle...
is a pretty valid point.
Is the replays take a little too long.
Especially if they got this fancy center in Secaucus, New Jersey, that Brian Davis just raves about. like, so much. Like, how does it still take them this long?
But do you think you even need that replay center? Why can't you just have a guy sitting right over there that just fires up the replay immediately, signals to the ref, so like another referee that's sitting there courtside, and signals to the ref, like, if it's the right call or not.
Like, I thought that was the point of the center, is that there would be a guy already watching it and say, oh, well, I'll just replay that. And then as soon as they put on the headphones, he just goes, you're wrong.
Yeah, but this way they wouldn't even have to walk over there.
But also, we usually...
has a red or a green sign.
Usually, we see it in a replay, and we know before... And then it's like 2 minutes later, then they're like, okay.
It takes them 35 seconds to agree on whether or not to look at it.
Right.
Because they have to huddle up. But, yeah, it's...
Yeah.
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 Thanks for the call, Uncle Earl.
Yeah.
I'll call you back sometime.
Never call again.
Not. I probably won't.
He's a drunk.
Is this where I could call to buy a storm cellar?
God,
Jesus.
No.
I'd like to buy me a storm cellar.
Okay. Let's
get Twitter
questions.
Tweet. All right.
My tweets were really bad. I'm really sorry.
It's okay.
Okay.
We'll get better.
Okay.
We got to improve every day. At Teddy P15, does this trade... assuming it boosts our winning percentage, also boost Russ's MVP chances?
Yes.
That's a good question, though.
I mean, I think it does.
If the team's better.
The problem is that Houston did a similar thing when they got Lou Williams.
Damn it.
And that also helps Harden. So I think...
Damn it!
It doesn't hurt to get rid of...
Why'd you have to...
Mora, who wasn't hitting threes, and...
I think, though, if the Thunder can climb to that four seed, which is total possibility. They have the easiest schedule left
in
the NBA.
If they do that and he's averaging a triple double, how can you not?
Yeah.
How can you not?
It's hard to deny it.
Have you guys come up a little bit on your where you think they'll finish an amount of wins yet?
I feel better
yes,
now.
Yes, I'm higher than my preseason prediction was for sure.
I don't remember
I'm thinking 48.
All right.
The great 48, which is, never mind. Okay, next.
At Tyler W. Gibbs, is Andre Robertson the best player in the league?
Yes.
Or is he the best player in the world?
Oh, man. I've been tweeting similar things. He's playing well.
What'd you say his shooting percentage was? 90?
90.
Unheard of. Who's ever done this before?
92.3, and he's averaging 6.5 shots in those two games.
Obviously, that's not sustainable. But
greatest defender that's ever lived.
When he plays, when he plays well, when he's playing at the top of his game, it makes a huge difference for this team.
I'm just ecstatic that they didn't trade him. I was really sad whenever that tweet came out that he was gone. I was like, I hate this trade so much.
Yeah,
I wonder what he is on the season. So he's shooting 45% on the season.
That's kind of better than I expected.
And he's shooting 26% from three.
And that's why he's shooting 45%. Last year, I think he was up around 50%.
What's that free throw at?
42.
All right. He's improved. Impressive. Yeah. All right.
But even if he just comes down, obviously, like you said, not 92%, but even if he just comes down to what he was, you know, in previous seasons, if he can, you know, remain at like a, you know, 50 to 60.
We just need that 3-point percentage comes to about 30.
I'm going to be honest. I really like the 92%. Personally.
Okay.
I would have.
Let's lock in at the 92.
Let's lock him in.
Yeah. I can lock you in right now.
Lock you in on this deal right now. All right.
Deal.
At DTH. Yeah. No, DT Ham 2. That was, that was a disaster.
Sorry, DT Ham.
Sorry, bro. What do you think of a small ball lineup of Russ, Abrines, McDermott, Grant, any of the big men?
I like this question a lot.
Russ, Abrines, McDermott,
Grant, any of the bigs.
Shooting, athleticism, and I mean, especially I think if you have Adams dunks in there with that lineup, it's great.
What about like Russ, Depot, Abrines, McDermott, Grant?
That's
super small.
Real small.
That's Guard City.
The thing is I don't know him well enough with McDermott, but I don't know if he can run. Can he run? Can he like get up and really play with pace?
I think he's he looks athletic.
Looks like he can move.
Yeah. Also, I think that lineup would be great with Taj.
Yeah.
Like
that'd be sweet.
At the five.
Can Taj play the five?
I think he could.
You know, another thing,
he's tough.
Well, another thing that we didn't really mention is the Thunder got better with the trade. You know what else got better? The rebounding. They're a better rebounding team than they were. He's a way better rebounder than LaVern. LaVern wasn't a great rebounder.
And
so
he
Thunder
helps
already,
people up off the floor.
Thunder already a great rebounding team before. Now they're even better.
Yeah. All right. So we had two questions that were pretty similar. So at Boomtown and at Real Deal Robbins asked this somewhat. This offseason, would you rather keep Cantor and let Taj go, or trade Cantor to re-sign 31-year-old Gibson? Really, really phrase that question to where you would get rid of Gibson, right? Because he,
I would rather
brought up
keep
his age.
Cantor. Keep Cantor.
Yeah,
Watching Cantor against the Pelicans, like
you got to keep the young guy.
I kept just watching that game. It was like he's so valuable to what the Thunder do.
He's a bigger. He's much more of a force than Gibson will ever be.
For sure.
In any. I mean, yeah, Gibson's a more rounded, well-rounded player. You know, he can
on both
play
ends,
a little
he
offense.
Can do stuff, right?
He's a good defender.
He's not looked spectacular in these two games.
I don't.
On
he hasn't looked comfortable on offense to me.
It
I don't
was
think
also very emotional for him to leave Chicago.
And you know, like you notice in the he's played Chicago his whole career.
Yeah.
He's a starter his whole career. So yeah, it's going to be a little learning curve there. But I lost my train of thought. They've been in the Pelicans game. They've been kind of force feeding Gibson in the post.
Yeah,
McDermott in the post, trying to get those guys going. Which I don't think that's the right way to
like,
get them
not
going.
Yet. Like
you know, like let it come organically and let them just kind of feel it out a little bit rather than force feeding Gibson, not really like a go to work in the post guy. I mean, he can, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know exactly what you mean.
So back to the question, Cantor, you got to go with Cantor. Can't, like
100%.
He's a more
100,000%.
What he does it so well that you gotta ride that out.
All the pursuit.
And I want people to realize that trade. I mean, it was essentially a McDermott for Payne swap with a 2018 with a second round pick thrown in there.
For sure. At Ethan Tyler Wilson, how many nightmares of Russ do you think Boogie will have after that poster, which so was many. Incredible?
We didn't even mention the dunk.
God, it was incredible.
It was awesome.
It sent him right to the bench.
Yeah, it did. And that it, was
like
so
just
good.
Sit
yeah,
down, bro.
Perfect. And he his face afterwards, just the Boogie face. But
yeah. The crowd was so fired up after that.
One thing that was funny about it is it wasn't your traditional full blast to the rim, hammer down. He did it. It may look easy. Like that dunk, he just kind of floated up there and just he knew he had it.
Yeah. And I think he was planning on doing that to Cousins just to get him that six.
And I think it's because Cousins trying to wear his number for some reason. He's wearing number zero now.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
I don't know what that's about, but I think
Russ stupid. That was a bad idea on his end.
Yeah.
And at Glazed and Consumed, loving the end of game defense lately. What are they doing so well? IQ reads as game goes on, wearing teams down, etc.
Well, I can tell you one thing that they're doing well. They're playing very bad teams.
Yeah,
that's
recently
helped.
So, I mean, that's just part of it. Is that they're better than most of these, or just about all of these teams that they've been playing lately.
That's a hell of an answer you just gave.
That I don't know if it's anything they're doing. I think it's partially luck. I think that they kind of buckle down. Russ has this way of buckling down.
It kind of helps everybody else that Russ is like, I got this offensively. So you guys just...
Right.
Also, they got better defensively with the trade.
Right.
I mean, that helps, especially these last two games. But
yeah. For sure. It's nice.
Last one. We got time for one more.
One more?
Pick your favorite.
Okay, this one's more fun. At CIC66, if there was Twitter in the 90s, who would have had a good Twitter game?
This is a good one.
I love this question.
Bill Clinton, but no, I'm just talking about NBA. Dennis Rodman would have been fun.
He'd have been
like Instagramming his hairstyles like all the time. Or every day they
transition to transgendering.
And it would be funny, like when you talk about Twitter in the 90s, like how would Michael Jordan be as revered? Would he be as loved as he is?
I think he
would have definitely gotten criticism though, because like, You know who I want to have a 90s Twitter? Karl Malone.
Utah James. Utah James. Just that would have been such a spelling disaster.
At his ranch. Oh, yeah. he'd totally be like a space period guy. Like, type this in, space period. Space question mark. Space exclamation point. I love the space before the punk.
What about you, Rob? Who are you going for?
I got no answer for you.
Wow,
I don't know.
Wow.
Should have looked at this first. This is a great question, but I don't
know. Who is that asshole for the Spurs?
Duncan?
No. I said asshole.
Oh, David Robinson?
No.
Who are you talking about?
The guy that wears the bow ties?
Bruce Bowen?
That guy.
What? Wait.
That's a weird answer.
Why?
He would have been a dick on Twitter. He would have gotten in trouble all the time.
What about... Well, no.
Oh, I got...
Maybe just some triple-double counts.
Yeah.
And now for the Russell Westbrook triple-double counter.
All right, we're tracking Russell Westbrook's chase down of Oscar Robertson's historic season, and he's kind of coming up hot.
He's getting there.
He's getting there. He's got 29 right now. He's on pace for 40, which is one less than Oscar Robertson had that season. His averages are coming up to 31 points a game, 10.6 rebounds a game, 10.3 assists a game. We saw that assist number dip down to 10.1 a couple weeks ago. He's got it back up to 10.3. Thanks to that Lakers game where he went 17, 18, and 17. So
not too shabby.
Did you see also that he has he tied for the second most 40-point
with Wilt,
yeah. Right? And he's only – that they have seven, so – Oscar Robertson only has 22. So
is being in all these records with Wilt Chamberlain good? Like when you keep tying records with him, is that good?
Yeah.
Are you saying like because you could catch a STD?
Because he's incredible?
No, I think you're saying
Or the STD.
Wilt Chamberlain,
thing.
Yeah, he had a lot of STDs.
He was good.
Okay, let's get to some notes.
Women.
He was good at sleeping with women.
Notes!
Did you guys hear what Perk said?
Oh yes!
About in 2 weeks, this locker is going to be my locker. Surely
you think he's coming.
Surely 15th not, spot? Right? Surely not.
Presti said he's like I'm not going to. comment. He said all of our old players are welcome back through the doors. But I'm not going to comment on who's going to take that 15th spot. So
it feels like Kirk thinks he's going to be back.
Dude, if he's back, I wouldn't mind.
I think I could see it as like an advisor.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
not
a consultant.
As that last roster.
I'd prefer him come back as a consultant or a coach.
It's just not needed.
No.
Don't take the roster spot for
Thunder need a guard. Thunder fans greeted Taj Gibson and Doug McDermott at the airport when they arrived. That is just insane. That's
pretty
like,
awesome. There's only cool about 20 see, of them, but yeah. It seemed like
Taj had his phone out. He was like videoing.
That's got to feel awesome.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man. They just receive him with love. Like even when they introduced him, welcome to Oklahoma City, Taj Gibson.
People stood up.
Yeah.
They were clapping.
Even tonight, it was really loud for both of them. It was
but
cool.
If you ever leave us,
don't
you cross us.
And like we mentioned earlier, the Lakers are working towards a buyout with Jose Calderon. The Warriors and the Rockets are interested, but it kind of seems like the Warriors are a done deal. He would be an interesting candidate.
Is he 87?
Yeah, I don't know if he can move. He's kind of like Morrow. The Blue announced, the Oklahoma City Blue, that is, announced Reggie Williams, their all-star D-leaguer, or G-leaguer, I should say. Has officially signed a 10-day with the Pelicans. Everyone's signing 10 days with the Pelicans.
Yeah. Yeah.
They need players.
They're trying some stuff.
They're basically DeMarcus Cousins, Anthony Davis, Drew Holiday, and then
A bunch of guys.
Some other folks.
They could use some help. And then last but not least, Russell Westbrook is the first player to get 3 triple-doubles against the same team in a single season since Jason Kidd in 2007-2008. Who did it versus the Hornets? They were the Hornets.
Yeah,
not the Bobcats.
That's cool. Has he got a triple double in the last 3 games? I think he did against the Knicks.
Yeah,
I think
he always gets against the Knicks.
I think the last three games, he's got a triple double
because he didn't do it against Washington because we got destroyed. Yes. And that was 4 games ago.
Don't bring that up.
All right, up next Tuesday we got Utah coming to town on Thursday, going to Portland on Friday, second night of a back to back, going to Phoenix. That's kind of a long travel. Back-to-back night. And then on Sunday, going to Dallas. So 3 road games out of the 4 games this week. What you guys got? Hero or zero? The lead. Jason, you're losing by
a lot. I'll go first and break the thing. Okay. I'm going 3-1.
All right.
Losing to Portland.
Interesting.
Even though they're terrible lately.
Portland destroyed the Thunder in Portland earlier, but yeah. I mean,
but lately they've been
which we should know. Like, if the Thunder can get this win against the Jazz, it's huge. I mean, they're a team they're chasing. Yeah. You got to go for that tiebreaker against them, and you want to win that. You want to win the division.
Plus, it's at home, so
yeah,
at home
they need that one.
And the Thunder have a 10-game home winning streak against the Jazz.
Good.
Oh, let's not break that's that. Not good.
That's good.
Why it's not? I mean, that sounds good to me.
Yeah, but then but you're like,
well, every streak has to get broken.
Yeah, you're like, oh, they were due.
When I hear things like that too, I think the same thing. All right, I'll go. Which we have 8 points. Rob, you have 8 points. I have 8 points. Twitter has 8 points. Jason, you have 4 points.
Woo, killing it.
I'm gonna also go 3-1.
Come here.
I was gonna say 3-1 as well.
Come on.
Yeah, well, I do think that. That Dallas game, though, that's one.
Now
that
they got Nerlens,
I think that could be a game that they might drop as well.
I could see them dropping a random stupid game this week, but hopefully not. If they go 4-0, 7-game win streak would be nice.
Hot damn!
If they beat the Jazz, I think that they'll probably. I think they might just take them all then.
The back to backs. That's what I'm a little worried about. Yeah. But all right, well, follow us on Twitter at OKC Thunderheads. Subscribe on iTunes. Search Thunderheads. We'll pop right up. We are the official Oklahoma City Thunder 18 podcast on the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. That's almightyballer.com. Lots of pods there. Go check them out. We're on Facebook, SoundCloud, Google Play, whatever you prefer. We're 3 games out of 4th place right now?
Getting
there. So we're rising. So stick around, and as always, Thunder up. I don't know what I meant by stick around.
Don't leave us.
I've switched a lot of things in my life, but it's never worked out. I switched to being a vegetarian, but ate more bacon than ever. Every time I switch lines at the grocery store, I never pick the fast one. But one thing that totally worked out is I switched to Metro PCS and got a free Samsung Galaxy.
Make the right switch too. Move to Metro PCS and get a free Samsung Galaxy J7 with a huge 5.5-inch screen. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Plus sales tax. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details, terms, and conditions.